Good morning, Coventry Church. It's good to be back and to be among you and to sing and to worship. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Feels like I never left. That's not true. Some of you I don't know. I'm looking forward to meeting some of you and have joined us and are worshiping here. And greetings to those who are watching online. And thank you. Thank you for, well, I'll get into the thank you in just a bit. This morning, I'm going to recall a little bit for you my experience. I'm going to talk to you about what some of my goals were, and I'm going to show you a few pictures along the way. We have over 2,000 pictures of our vacation. I'm going to show you a few of those, so forget the time downstairs. No. But then also, As I sought the Lord and rested in Him, just some things that He impressed upon me that I'm going to bring to you. They're not great epiphanies, and they're things that you've heard before, but hopefully as the Spirit moves among us and that I've learned from this different time and stage of anything that I've ever experienced before, that you too might hear something that you need for your life at this season. And potentially as you go through life, some of you younger ones. So, but first of all, I want to pray together just a prayer of gratitude for what God is doing among us and for His presence among us. So will you join me in praying? Father in heaven, we thank You for who You are and your greatness, Your glory, Your majesty, Your power. We thank You, O God, for You indeed save. Thank You for saving me, Jesus. Thank You. Thank You for saving my brothers and sisters. And thank You for the work that You're doing now, Lord, to reconcile people to You. So, Lord, thank You for the healing that You're doing, for the comfort that You're giving. Lord, thank You for the truth that You're sharing. So, Lord, it's good to be with my brothers and sisters back here at Coventry Church today. Thank You for the work that You've done in me. And Lord, I pray You would continue to mature me, continue to refine me, to make me the man, the child that You want me to be, Father, the husband that You want me to be, the dad, the friend, the brother in Christ. Lord, I pray that Your Holy Spirit would continue to move and work among us here. Lord, I pray for Barb as she grieves and their family. Thank You for Rich's strong faith, Lord. Thank You. As we sang, I thought about him this morning, Lord. Thank You. And yet, Lord, there's just a heartache and the void of loss. So, Lord, we pray that You would fill that with Your presence, fill that with the love of Christ. Help them, Lord, to grieve, to weep as they need to weep, to laugh as they remember. And, Lord, as You continue to move life on, to continue to live and live with You. Thank You. Thank You for VBS, Lord, and the servants there and the fruit of that ministry. Thank You for family life. Thank You for small groups. Thank You for all the things that You're doing, Lord, and the outreaches. And we pray for the youth mission week coming up. We pray, Lord, that youth would be interested in serving because, Lord, You're a servant. Jesus, You're a servant. And that we can show Your love to our community through doing this. We pray You would raise up the youth to go to this. I know it's local, Lord, but it can be very powerful as we learn to serve our neighbors. Thank You, Lord. As I move through this talk this morning, Lord, help me to share what's appropriate and in a way that reflects and brings honor and glory to You. Thank You, Father. It's in Your name we pray. Amen and amen. So yes, thank You. Thank you. I felt very honored to be given this opportunity. Sometimes guilty, sometimes feeling like, man, I'm not going to remember any names when I go back. But I'm doing pretty good. Thank you for your prayers of support, your encouragement. Some of you sent me off with some beautiful notes of encouragement along the way, and I hold those dear to my heart. Thank you for respecting my time away. You did a pretty good job with that. I didn't hear from you. Some of you maybe tried, but I had that number turned off, so I still didn't hear from you. And really, I had a little bit of a complex at times when I didn't know that you were told not to wave back to me. So I'm riding the tractor, mowing the grass, waving my little heart off, and people are just like, nope. What happened here? What happened to my relationship? I know some of you broke through and waved. I got that. So I feel extremely blessed to have this opportunity. My sabbatical coach and my counselor had given me these four things to kind of target and go after in this 3 months. Again, I was a public school teacher before a pastor, so I used to have summers off, but most of those summers I had a job and I was working in projects where it was not like this. After 20 years of ministry, taking 3 months off was different. The goal was to stop work. Stop work. And that you think that will be synonymous with rest, but it's not always synonymous with rest. To rest, to fully disengage from things. It took me a while to do that. I knew who was preaching on May, the second Sunday, the third Sunday. I knew we were supposed to be outside for Father's Day service, but it didn't happen. And so it was like middle of June until I stopped the schedule of what you were doing and what was coming up. It took that long. Until July, I was like, yeah, I don't know what's happening anymore. Whew, okay, good. It took me that long to stop that. Another part of this was to delight, to engage in things that you delight in. All right, so eating was really good, right? Delighting in that, playing disc golf, and we got to see a part of the country I'd never saw in, and this is a place, I believe it's Olympic National Park in Oregon, and this was a place that Corey suggested to go. It's Hurricane Ridge, and breathtaking, delighting in the Lord's handiwork to create. But also then finally to rest in God's goodness and to recognize it and have time to just say, boy, God, you are so good to me. So those were the four things that I was trying to move into and do. So let me give you just a brief breakdown of the months that I experienced. We'll start with May. May seems like a long time ago, right? But I missed the new member reception. That was the first Sunday. But I looked through the booklet that you had. So welcome, new members. I knew I was going to miss some things. But May, for me, provided times of private reflection and alone time. In between track meets, two big track meets. Our son Matthew was a track athlete for Lock Haven University, and he had success. We were at the PSAC track meet, and then in between that and the he qualified for the national championship meet, which was in Pueblo, Colorado. I had a time of solitude and getaway. It was just me. It was in a beautiful place that was offered to me graciously. No connections, no phone, no internet. So it was quiet. I had some downloaded songs on my phone that I just played through a speaker, and I sat and I overlooked a beautiful river, and it was quiet. Hummingbirds were feeding in a feeder off the front porch, and I journaled, and I wrote, and I was awkward because it was so quiet. I felt like I needed to get online and do something, but it was stretching. So May, and then also time with extended family. I realized in May, here was one of the realizations, I'm not good at rest. After a day or so, I'm like, okay, let's go, let's do something, let's get involved. I don't know how to rest well. And I had to remember the elements, two key elements of resting well. Stop the work, stop the labor. Now, doing a ministry is not physical labor. I wasn't tired from like carrying things or, you know, splitting wood or mowing grass all day or painting. It's an emotional weight and heaviness that just accumulates over time. When you as the pastor are involved in the lives of the families. So like my counselor says, are you dreading going back to work? I'm like, no, I'm not. And says, well, why do you feel like you're burnt out? Like it's just the accumulation of emotional fatigue over years. So rest, not only stop work, the second element is then to pursue God. I realized in May that, boy, I like people for the most part. I like to be around people. I like to high five and to give hugs and do that. So being on solitude and away and all that stuff was like, that challenges that a little bit. One of the things about living next door to the church or going on retreats away from my family who had to stay in May and keep working was that, okay, I'm away from the church, away from thinking about that. That's great. But I miss my wife and my kids. So there was a little things I had to work through there a little bit. And I also realized that being alone, without structure, without routine, without projects, it's a vulnerable place. It can be a very vulnerable place. Because you're left alone with your thoughts. And if your thoughts aren't going in the right direction, it can just pull you into the wrong spot. June was a really different month for us because we took a three-week vacation to see the Pacific Northwest. Oh, there's the pictures from May. That's the PSAC meet on the left. Matt won that one. Did really well. And then we went to Pueblo, Colorado. And Matt, he did all right. He got eighth in the nation, you know. So... Slacker. Jeez, come on. Okay. Really humbled by that and blown away and was really, you know, I would have done those whether I was on sabbatical or not, but I would have had to rush back and had to rush to it and then come back. So being on sabbatical during those two was just freed me to just rest in the event. All right, let's go into June. 3-week vacation to the Pacific Northwest. We had the wonderful experience and great times together. We drove lots of miles. We did this. We drove out. We were motivated on the way out to get out to the Division I National Championship meet in Eugene, Oregon. So we made that and experienced that. One of my favorite times during that drive was we stopped for picnic lunches. So we'd drive, get up and drive for 3 or 4 or 5 hours, and then we'd stop and have a picnic lunch at a rest stop. I don't know. It was just sitting around the table making lunch together and we saw amazing geography. We hiked sometimes more than we wanted to because we got lost at the bottom of the hike. We missed the trailhead, and we did a mile we didn't need to do there. We saw Olympic National Park. We saw Yellowstone. We spent a day in Seattle. We saw the Badlands, and we took thousands of pictures. I was flipping through some the last 2 days to say, what should I share with you? Oh, look at us on day one. How smiley we happy were. That's the end of day one. We didn't smile all the time. Just imagine being in a car with your family every day for at least 7 or 8 hours for about 3 weeks, right? Okay. But it was pretty good, wasn't it? We learned how to do that. We had some great times in the car, singing, trivia games. The sabbatical offered a time for my family really to be together. There's another picture. What's that, Yellowstone? I think that's Yellowstone. So I realized that my family is a tremendous blessing. I knew that, but I realized it to a deeper level. I realized, and I knew this, but it pressed upon me again that God's creation is ridiculously beautiful, powerful, diverse, and breathtaking. And that's the landscapes, but that's also you. As part of his special creation, just seeing people. I'm a people watcher on vacation. Sometimes my kids are like, Dad, quit staring. But it's amazing to see the diversity of people around us and among us. That was June. In July, we were mostly back here at the parsonage. Tracy and I retreated on 2 different weeks. We had time, again, with extended family visits. And I realized in July, now this is the realization after 3 weeks on the road, sleeping in a new Airbnb every night, and you know, you don't sleep that well on the road. And I'm like, I really need to focus in on resting in July. I got to turn up the intensity on the rest. I can't force rest, right? You can't force it. You just got to let it happen. But we had the wonderful opportunity to retreat to two different places. I began running more regularly in July, and I realized that you can't really get the physical benefits of exercise physically or spiritually if you just do it once a week. Not going to happen. I was like running once a week just because of the way we were moving in May and June, and we were hiking a lot, but not doing the runs I wanted. So, all right, so that's the summary of things. Is there a picture with this one? Oh, yeah, there we are. One sweltering day in July, we went to a point in Delaware and saw a sunset. Again, breathtaking. And so marriage focus, relationship between Tracy and I was kind of the focus in July, and it was good. We're still married. After 3 months off work and home a lot, we're still happily married, I'd even say. It might be a stretch. We'll see. Will you turn with me to Matthew 6 for the first verse and point that I want to bring to you and remind you of? It's Matthew 6, 33 and 34. The passage is about worry. So I will share with you, I'm sharing very honestly and transparently that sometimes I didn't realize it. I kind of realized it, but I didn't realize the full effect of what happens inside me in ministry. I liken it to like being a spring that's kind of compressed or wound up. And it took a while. I realized we went out for ice cream like the first day of retreat of Sabbath. It was back in May. And we were in the coffee place in Spring Ford, Handles maybe, and it was jam-packed full of people, and kids were loud and running around in there, and we're waiting in line, and I'm like, I got to get out of here. And I wrote in my journal, I don't feel very patient with people. That was in May. And then as we went time away, and I just kind of spent time with the Lord and breathe deeply and kind of let go of some things. I don't have to worry about what's happening at Coventry. I'm not in control. I think that maybe I am in control. I don't have to worry about, I'm not in control. I let go of that. Don't worry about it. It's in good hands. I began to just kind of unwind. And then I could tolerate rooms full of people and louder and children running around and so forth. But here's the passage that I want to remind you of. In following Jesus, we're not to worry about some of the practical things that we sometimes worry about. He says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. I knew this before, but it was impressed upon me a lot that life is going to continue in my absence, in my 3 months away. Life's going to happen for you. You're 3 months older. You have 3 months more of experience. You have 3 months of things happening in the life of you and the congregation that I was away from. And I knew I needed that, not to worry about those things. Life's just going to keep going. It's going to keep happening. In May, I told you Tracy and Leah, they couldn't rest with me in May. They had to keep working and coaching and doing their things and being busy. Matt was away. Life was happening. But some of that was beautiful because life happened. I was able to go to my niece's graduation service and drive my mother to that and then back home and then back out that same weekend. I didn't want her to do that by herself. That was beautiful. Life happened. I could go to track and field competitions. Life happened. We bombed another country. That troubled me personally, but then I also thought about some of your reactions to that. Right? That drew me back into pastoral stuff and caring for the flock. And then we heard of babies being born. Couldn't be here for that. I'm thinking about this couple here in the front. Family members within the family of faith passed away. And my own uncle passed away. I kind of thought that some of that might happen. I really didn't want it to. But guess what? Life's going to keep churning. It's going to happen. You can't stop life. You can't just say, hey, man, I'm just going to take this time away and we'll come back and just jump in where we were. Mm-mm, it's not the same. New people began attending Coventry. The softball team playing games. Decisions were made. I walk in, I'm like, what? What is that on the wall down there? Hey, what are these things? They weren't bad things. It was just like new. I'm like, hey, guess what? Decisions were made. People came. And guess what, Coventry? You did well. You continued ministry. You loved. You served. Children, I saw a child yesterday at men's breakfast that said that child grew an inch or two. Life happens. It keeps moving. So that's not a great epiphany to you all, but it's a reminder that you can't stop things. You can't control all these things. You need to move through life with God's presence so that you can handle what life brings to you. You trust in Him. He's the one who is in control. God is faithful. I had a sunrise picture from Idaho where I got up, and it just reminded me, like, He brings the sunrise every morning. He carries about the day. He is faithful. He will keep us moving forward. God still reigns. Amen? He still cares about us. He is present as we seek Him and call upon His name. So my encouragement to you is to live life, but live it well. Don't think that you have to control everything. You won't. There's going to be good things to celebrate. There's going to be hard things to walk through. But God promises to never leave us or forsake us. So we'll walk through life as it comes with God's help. Second point is this. It's the scripture that supports it. It's from Luke chapter 9. Again, this is not something that's new to you, but it was impressed upon me. Jesus was talking to His disciples, and He said in Luke 9:23, whoever wants to be My disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow Me. I want to tell you that that's not automatic. It's a daily choice. You can't just say, I'm on sabbatical, I'm just going to sit back and rest, and it's all going to be following Jesus, picking up my cross. It's a daily choice. It needs to be a choice. It has to be a choice. It has to be an intentional act of going after the Lord and thinking about faith. As I told you, I had a lot of free time. There's a lot of positives to that. But there was some battling in my mind. There were some parts where it wasn't like great. I'd rather be on routine and working than just not. You know what that means. Some of you know what that means. Free time is, not so good. My routines had radically changed. So what I found to be great was developing a routine of taking my Bible and my journal and a cup of coffee and finding a place, no matter where we were across the country, and just sitting with the Lord. That was good. It was routine. I wrote almost every day in my journal. I read in the Bible. I prayed. Each day provided the new opportunity to live as a follower of or a pursuer of Jesus. And here's what I realized. A good Monday, it didn't guarantee a good Tuesday as far as being faithful to following Jesus. And I had to confess, Lord, I thought more about self today than I did about You. I had to write that a few times. I had to confess that in prayer. I also realized that a bad moment or two in a day, it didn't have to be a detriment to the rest of the day. Didn't have to throw out the whole Tuesday because I messed up early Tuesday morning. woe is me. So repent, get back on and be faith, get back in the right spot and live. It's a daily pursuit. Successfully following Jesus and living by faith in the kingdom of heaven is a daily engagement. It wasn't automatic when I was on sabbatical. And I think there were temptations that were pulling at me to move in different directions. But the choice of health, the choice of life and truth was when I said, I want you, Jesus. I want to sit with you. I want to be at your feet. I want to learn from you. Holy Spirit, teach me. And just marvel at God and who He is and His creation. That's the second point. This is the last one, is prioritize relationships. I was on this solitude retreat. I had 2 days alone in the mountains, looking at this stream, exercising, without phone, I had the radio, I had my music on my phone, but no connections to call or text. And I read this in John 20, because when I started sabbatical was soon after Easter. Easter seems like a long time ago, doesn't it? Right? So we had Easter near the end of April, and then I'm starting this, and I was reading what happened after the resurrection. In John 20, verse 17, and again, I'm on this porch looking over this river and just meditating upon this. Jesus says to Mary, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them." And here's what really touched me. It really drew me in. He says, "I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." He was bringing Mary into a position, a relational position, that was just like him in relationship to the Father, and just like us in relationship to the Father. And this is the whole reason why Jesus came, to reconcile us into a right standing with our Heavenly Father. It's about relationship. What we're doing, sometimes we want to focus on right and wrong, and we need to think about those things as well, but ultimately, it's about relationship. Relationship with your Creator, relationship with one another. When we look at the two commands that Jesus summarized, it's love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. That's all about relationship. And love each other as yourself. It's about loving. In the process of some of the books that I've read, I'm reading the book about practicing the way, John Mark Comer. Some of you did it as a small group over here in Historical Room. And he says it's about following Jesus. It's active following, it's listening to him, it's walking with him, it's relationship. I was so blessed during this time to be able to have interactions with my family and my extended family that I haven't had for a time. Focusing on relationship and being together. For the first time in 11 years since serving here, I saw my mom on Mother's Day. Easy, I'll cry again. That was the second week, the second Sunday I was going to be with her, and I had planned on, I went to your church with you on the first Sunday. I'm going to try a different church in the area, and then it was Mother's Day. Mom, I'm going to go with you to church tomorrow, to your church again. So it was good. It was rich. Appreciated that. July 4th, it was on a Friday. Sometimes we've gone back for July 4th on Friday and then driven back here on Saturday so we can have Sunday right here. But that's just it's a three-hour trip. It just makes for a busy weekend. We often opted to be out of that. Well, this July 4th, we said, we can do that. So we went back, and there were 25 other family members at my mom's all day, just surrounded by family, eating, swimming, playing games, and it was good. It's about relationship. Graduations. I was able to go. I probably would have done this anyway, but I was able to go and linger at my Uncle Fred's passing. He was 92 years old. One of the things that I delighted in was playing disc golf. I want to tell you that almost to a 3-to-1 ratio were rounds played with others to solo rounds. Often when I'm involved in ministry, I don't go out when the guys are out. Sometimes I don't get invited. I don't quite understand that. Duke's playing right now, and Matt's up there. But sometimes I do, but I can't because of stuff going on here. And often I disc golf on Mondays, my day off. But this one, I was with others. One of my favorite rounds of disc golf was just me and Tracy. We were in Pueblo. It was the oldest disc golf course in Colorado. I got a picture of that somewhere. And we just enjoyed it. Matt's competition was over. I wasn't kind of wound up because of that. It was like, wow, let's just reflect and play a round of disc golf. And we lingered. We almost didn't play because it rained, but... And I think I beat you, which made it even better. I don't know. Not sure about that, though. I'll check that. The road trip was rich, just growing closer as a family. I missed you, though. There were things that would happen that would remind me of you or you all, or things that we've done together, or and I would think of you by name. Graduations, right? When Leah would come across the praise team, I'd think about the praise team and pray for them and just missed you. Because it's about relationship. We missed being in at times with travel, missed being with the church. So we would go to church services and worship, and it was so good to be with the church and singing. But it was different than being here because of the relationships that we have in Christ. So, in order to stay focused on that, I routinely reminded myself to walk with Jesus and to sit at his feet. That's the message I have for you today. Three things. Life's going to keep moving forward. Daily pursue Jesus. It's not an automatic. It's a choice you got to make. Don't neglect relationships. Love one another. Spend time, listen, and talk. Rest is an important part of our lives. Resting is not simply stopping work or disengaging from our regular activities, but to rest well. I've learned to disengage from work, and just as importantly, to engage with the Lord in an unrushed manner. So now, as I'm here, I'm re-engaging with you at Coventry. A lot of things are going to go back to the way they were, I'm sure. But for me, part of re-engaging well is to challenge the system that brought about the fatigue and the burnout. And for me personally, that means I need to practice spiritual health in a little better routine, in a new way. I think part of my re-engaging might consider a day and a half, every month, where I'm working, but I'm away retreating, and I'm praying, and I'm focusing, I'm pouring into the Word to hear what I'm supposed to be saying to you. If you just go back and do the same things that you've done over and over again, guess what you're going to get? You're going to get the same result. Part of this time also, I was praying and saying, Lord, I want to hear and continue to hear your call upon my life. Lead me to where you want me to be. Help me to do what you want me to be doing. At this point, the Lord says, Mark, I want you to give your talents to this family of faith to encourage faith in Jesus and to demonstrate his love among us to the community and the world. So, Coventry, thanks. Thanks for welcoming me back. Thanks for being faithful. I look forward to spending time with you all over the next few months to just catch up. We've already started some of that. I violated the terms of my sabbatical a couple times. I snuck in the church to look at VBS decorations. I had to get out of here, but I'm like, that straw is going to be here forever. And I said, oh, look at those cameras hanging there. That's new. And I said, I got to get out of here. We had to turn off the lights once, but that was no biggie. I went to the softball game last Sunday night. Just because I wanted to lessen the blow today a little bit. We also spent some time with my sister, a brief time before Rich passed, because we felt that we should go over and just pray and be with him. Because of relationship and love. Lord, continue to guide us and shape us into your people. Thank you for the concept of rest. Jesus, you modeled rest. Father, you gave us a command that we are to rest on a regular cycle and to rest well. So Lord, help us, lead us, and guide us that we might be a people that's full of life, full of joy, and full of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being among us. Receive the worship and the glory and the honor that's due you. We pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen and amen.